Pickles.
Ooh.
The long play version, William, just for you. I thought you needed a little bit more Raspberry Beret this morning. A little Prince, bringing it.
I could always use a little more Prince in my life, let's be honest.
No, that's, you know, I was feeling it too. Pre-show, I wanted to turn that frown upside down. So I think we've done it. So, anywho, let's get to our guest, Mr. Chris Dunn. Welcome back to Drive Thru HR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I think there are a handful of folks who don't know who you are. So if you would, introduce yourself, and then we'll jump right into what's top of mind.
Hey, before I introduce myself, I got to say, I like the selection of Prince. You know, a lot of people would still go Purple Rain, but I believe Raspberry Beret is the next CD after Purple Rain, or two after. So it's kind of a renaissance for Prince in my eyes. So, well done.
Very good. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I got. All right, so quick introduction. So, name is Chris Dunn, long-term HR pro, started in the business of HR back in 1997. That puts me just barely in a protected class. So watch yourselves today. And I'm the CHRO at a company called Kinetics. And I'm the founder of the blogs, the HR Capitalist, and also one called Fistful of Talent, where William Tin Cup graces us with his presence every couple of weeks. And we're happy for that presence. I just want to put that on the record.
Nice. What is... What's top of mind for you these days, Chris? What's keeping you up at night?
Oh, you know, I think, like, one of the things, and I think it's related to the topic we wanted to talk about, like, you know, the biggest thing that's, like, top of mind for me right now is just the whole, kind of the whole topic of adoption. Because it seems like, you know, we're a recruiting company at Kinetics, and regardless of what we sell in, and a lot of companies use us for some very specific reasons, and we send the message, we tell them the features that we provide that we think separate us from the pack, and everybody's got those features. And the interesting thing is when we actually get to implementation, you know, some of our customers have trouble, like, fully implementing what we consider our full solution to be, which is kind of an adoption issue. And then, you know, I follow, obviously, like, the software sector and HR as part of what, you know, I write at the Capitalist and Fistful of Talent. And it just seems like getting people, it seems like everybody's got a great solution, or a lot of people have very good solutions to a lot of problems that companies have and that HR pros need solutions for. Seems like actually getting them to use it, even if they want to use it, like actually getting them to use it, getting the people around them to use it, is the biggest issue that's out there. And to me, that kind of plays into what we want to talk about today, which is gamification.
Yeah. I was about to say, some of the things that we can learn from, you know, consumer plays like, you know, LinkedIn and, you know, Facebook and some of those things that it's become fun, and they've, whether or not it's official that it's become gamification, or we just feel like we're playing a game. How do we do that in B2B? How do we do that in recruiting software or recruiting services? Like, what have you thought about trying, or what have y'all tried to kind of step up that quote-unquote game, if you will?
Well, you know, I think when you think about B2B, you're thinking about, this is my take on it, you know, whether it's like software or recruiting services like we provide, I think you've always got a buyer, right? You've always got a buyer who is fully bought into the solution, and then you've got all these stakeholders around them with a variety of roles. And let's say it's like 3, 4, or 5 different roles that stakeholders hold like around them. And getting the stakeholders, you know, everybody in the business world's got a million things going on. And with a million things going on and a million things to read and, 100 logins, there's a certain amount of ADD that goes on. So what you've got to do, and this is, I think, a struggle for every company. I think the LinkedIn, like, kind of paradigm is kind of interesting. I'd like for you to react to this in a second. But really what you're doing, in my eye, to try and get adoption is you're trying to get a tease to the features you can provide that if they would only use them, you know that you'll have them for life. But you've got to get them to use it. So it becomes a tease to tease the feature. And I don't think you can do it like in a very, very formal way, right? I mean, I think you've got to make it fun, and you've got to make it light enough where it actually might get used, and you've really almost got to trick that attention-starved person because of everything that's going on to take a chance on what you can provide. I think that's true, whether it's Kinetics, who's already like embedded in the company, and we're trying to get like the full solution deployed. True for HR technology vendors. I think it's true for HR professionals, right? Because, you know, the good HR professionals that you know have a platform, and they know how to get stuff done. They know how to, you know, like really make their managers in their client group and the employees in their client group a raving fan of them individually and also their HR departments. But they got to get them to use it once, and that's the whole trick.
What are the lines of demarcation between hype and reality? When someone says gamification to you, you know, and I know that you're savvy enough to kind of fight through what is hype and what is the reality. What are the lines of demarcation for you where you're like, okay, it's kind of overblown if we think of it like this, but if we think of it like this, it actually works.
Well, that's a great question. For me, a reaction to that question, I guess, you know, my initial answer top of mind is that, hey, if you're trying to create an entire ecosystem, like a point totals and leaderboards and things like that, I think the reality is for most companies trying to deploy a solution and get people to use what they're very good at, I think creating an ecosystem that people have to track, you know, that may require like an additional like platform, stuff like that. I think the harder it is to track it and the more involved it has to be, the less it gets used. So if you go back to LinkedIn, right, and I think we've all written on this a little bit with the LinkedIn endorsements. You know, I just got one from William Tin Cup like 2 days ago. That said, William Tim Cup has endorsed you. Now, part of me always cringes on that because I wonder if William Tim Cup has found a way to make up his own category and say that Chris Dunn is an expert on X. And I won't say what X is because what William Tim Cup will come up with for that would be counterproductive to Chris Dunn in a business capacity. However, I think you go to LinkedIn endorsements thing. That's a great example. It's in the existing platform, and it's like, you know, it's like you're a drunk mouse with sugar water. You're just beating that thing as much as you can, and it's whack-a-mole. As soon as you hit it, another one comes up, and it feels pretty good. It feels good to do it for somebody. It feels good when you see somebody do it for you. So they've created, I think, a form of gamification that doesn't really, I guess, it does track results, but there's no leaderboard involved. There's no really reward other than just the pure recognition of it all. To me, that's one that works pretty well.
Hey, Chris, this is Brian. So on the gamification side, do you think it's just another layer of kind of smoke and confusion that's just, I mean, it's just more noise that people are not really, there's not a really high adoption rate, and people are like, oh, it's one more thing. Do you think the cynicism is kicking in, or do you think there's real value to this?
Well, I think there's real value to it, and I'll give you one example from our company, Kinetics. So we're a recruiting company, and we know if we can be involved. Let's say that the two of you, let's say Brian's the hiring manager, and William is somebody who also interviews a final candidate. So we know that from that situation, that Brian's going to drive the decision, and we just know from our own experience that quality conversations after both William and Brian interview the candidate, really quality conversations, especially if you get to like three or four people who interviewed a final candidate, we know that quality conversations rarely happen. We know, hey, what'd you think? Liked them, didn't like them. That's about as deep as it goes. So we know we can provide value and get, and, you know, really become more embedded in a quality hire if our recruiters can drive kind of what we call the facilitation of that feedback loop. So what we've done is we've got a system that's a form of gamification. We call it area code hiring, where first number is your guys' opinion scale of 1 to 10, person's ability to actually do the job, knowledge, skills, abilities, experience, et cetera, et cetera. Third number in that area code is fit for the culture, fit for the manager, fit for the team, scale of 1 through 10. And what we do is we draw people out in a conversation. We make them write down the number. And so I would make you guys write down your number without sharing notes. And then I would hear that William, in terms of ability to do the job, is an 8. Brian's a 5. So now as a facilitator, I've just gamified the feedback loop by making you have a number. And now we've got something interesting to talk about in terms of the difference between those two numbers. So I think, to answer your question, you know, give you that example, Brian. I think it's real. I think it comes in, you know, I think it comes in a lot of different variations. And the simpler you can make it, and the more you can make it embedded in something you already do, like a process that you already do, I think the more effective that it is. By the way, the middle number in the area code is 0 or 1. 0 means not going to hire them, not going to move them forward in the process. 1 means let's hire them today, or let's move them forward in the process until we get to the last two candidates we're going to consider.
Nice. Let's look at some of the aspects of talent management, succession, performance, rewards, engagement, whatever. Do you think there's areas that can or are like easier to gamify than others or not?
Well, you know, I think recognition, I think anything where you can involve more people and you can kind of go to, like, you know, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking of the word, like, you know, aggregate, you know, averages, things like that. I think anytime you can involve everybody in a department or everybody in a division, I think it's easier to gamify. I think when you can't involve everybody, gamification becomes much more limited. And the example I would give you is, let's take two examples, talent management, or let's say performance management. So you go to the performance management suite, and when you're doing, you know, the fact that a lot of these solutions include 360 feedback, they can include anybody in the company, makes it easier to think about how gamification would work. Recognition's the same way. You know, if I look at different solutions that are out there right now, you know, there was a company that, you know, was called Work Simple that just closed its doors. And they had a great solution with really what I would call social goals and social goal setting that was really this incredible feedback loop where people could get badges, people could get feedback on the goals that somebody was working towards based on their observations. So I think it's really, you're really capable of doing that both in performance management and also just in the rewards and recognition space. But I think the fact that, you know, Work Simple had a very elegant solution, And I was trialing it, and you know, Holland and I at Kinetics trialed it, and we thought about it for our own company. Just the fact they shut their doors and they had a great solution tells you how hard the adoption thing is on anything that's any form of gamification where it can include a lot of people.
For sure. Hey, Chris, let's do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, Brian William and Nisha talking with Chris Dunn. So, Chris, kind of, I'm going to switch gears on you here. So, fun at work. I want to hear your perspective of why it feels like having fun at work and having a fun atmosphere is so scary to so many business leaders out there.
Yeah, you know, to me, you know, fun at work comes in a variety of fashions. You know, there's the expected stuff, right, with events, you know, that are kind of like points in time, you know, and that's where you get into the paradigm of HR people, you know, planning the company picnic or planning this company lunch and things like that. And then there's the more organic version of fun that's kind of self-defined by different managers and different departments. And, you know, maybe it's all encouraged by a CEO who's trying to drive a certain culture or even a really like progressive HR person. I think it feels threatening to people really because anytime you allow for fun and the more you decentralize fun in your organization, the more legal liability HR professionals, lawyers who, by the way, are not HR professionals, but they impact us in big companies. The more you decentralize what fun is in a company and what culture is in a company, there's the perspective that there's a lot of liability associated with that. And to a certain extent, there is some liability. The question is, if you have a culture that decentralizes kind of the definition of that culture and allows for a lot of creativity, which is part of my definition of fun, then the whole question becomes, there is liability associated with that. The whole question becomes, is there business results in some capacity that outperforms that liability?
What's the relationship between fun at work and employee engagement for you?
I don't know. William, it's a good question. You know, my definition of employee engagement is a little bit different than a lot of people's. My definition of employee engagement is discretionary effort. I think that discretionary effort, like I think you're engaged in your job if you give more than you had to, and that could be for a variety of reasons. But for the most part, I think it comes from passion for the individual, for the work that they're doing, and maybe the company setting up an environment where they can chase that passion. And my gut tells me that for the best talent, you get that definition of engagement, meaning discretionary effort. For the best talent, you get that regardless of if a company is driving, quote-unquote, what we're calling fun today. And I would also say that just because you create a fun environment that maybe helps you recruit for your recruitment brand, I'm not sure that translates into my definition of engagement, which admittedly is maybe a little bit different than everybody else's definition of engagement, maybe a little more limited than the broader world views this definition of engagement. What's your guys' definition of engagement?
People that it's the same as yours. It's very, very similar. It's people that show up when you don't expect them to show up. So that discretionary effort, it fits for me.
Yeah, and you know, William, just to like piggyback off that, and I'd love to hear Brian's definition of engagement. Like, I could care less if the employee survey comes back, and by whatever kind of metric thing that we use, I could care less that it tells me that 81% of my workforce is engaged, unless I have real tangible proof that someone is just chasing it because they love it, and we're happy to have them. By the way. But I think it's probably more internal. I think companies can do things to get the people who are capable of doing what you described to chase great things. I think that's the company's job. I think, like, driving engagement scores, I think there's probably 20% of the people in your company that are driving 80% of the good stuff that results from their engagement.
Let me ask a question about fun and money. If you could offer up to your employees, let's say, you can have fun or you can have money, but you can't have both. not just their normal compensation. I mean, all that stuff stated and covered. But, like, the discretionary money that you would be spending on the fun, because the fun costs money generally, at least opportunity costs. There's going to be some money tied to that. We'll just not have as much of the fun, but we'll take that money and we'll just give it to you as a per cap.
Right.
First of all, is that just a bad idea, or how do you think people would respond to that?
So here's what I think. I mean, it's a fascinating question. I think that people would respond to that by saying, you know what, the ways you guys trying to find fun as a company don't impact me that much, and I'm generally cynical and jaded about them. So you just go on and give me that check. I think there's always a miss rate enough. And, you know, I wrote about this maybe 3 or 4 months ago. I think the other thing is when you start talking about fun in an organization, you know, like, you know, work is a part of, is just one part of somebody's life. And there's this human condition. And I think I wrote about it. I, like, referenced the Matrix, which, right, I got to do, like, a Matrix reference at the blogs, like, once a month, or I don't feel like I'm doing my job. But, you know, Agent Smith in The Matrix said that the first Matrix that they did was a perfect world and that everybody was happy, everybody had everything they needed, et cetera, et cetera. And his quote was, if you follow The Matrix, they basically, like, made prisoners of the whole human race for the electricity out of their bodies. And he said that entire crops were lost, that people tried to unplug from their system because there's this human condition that almost expect some type of despair. So when I started thinking about, to bring it back to your question, when I started thinking about the human condition needing some drama, needing some despair, I think that's why you're going to see a lot of people that would say, just give me that check, because everybody's definition of fun and what impacts them from that perspective is so different. I think, you know, I think you got the happy people too, right, William? I think you got maybe 10-15% of the people that say, yeah, give me fun. But I think you got a lot of jaded, cynical people who your fun efforts don't reach that are probably never engaged that say, give me the check. And if anybody could unlock that and get more people to say that they'd opt for fun, then they've got a definition of fun that probably is the holy grail.
Yeah, it's a shared experience. It's a shared definition. We all agree on fun. If the company can provide fun for us or help enable us to have fun together, fantastic. But it's there's kind of an interesting line between that and charitable giving, at least corporate giving, as it's thought of in the United States, where corporations come together and they give on behalf of the employees and the company. And there's actually a lot of thought out there that just says, you know what, just give the money to the employees.
Right.
And let them give to whatever they care about.
Yeah, because they can't possibly make decisions that, you know, United Way is a safe choice because it does so many organizations, but it doesn't really crystallize a mission. You know, I mean, United Way is this consortium of all of these organizations that they'll collect money for and give to. And that's kind of bland for the employee base. And I think they do a great job, but to your point, It's hard to connect people with what that mission is, for sure.
What's your definition of fun at work? So, I mean, you know, you moved over from Daxto to Kinetics, and you're part owner in this bit, and you know all of that, both good stuff and bad stuff, I'm assuming. What's the definition for fun at work for you nowadays?
Yeah, you know, my definition would be being challenged by what I do. You know, being able to grow in what I'm chasing professionally. And then on many more days than not, having, even in difficult business circumstances, which happens in every business, not having a lot of bad days with the people who are around you. So, you know, I can think of like 3 or 4 people that I work with that have been outstanding to work with at Kinetics. And the fact that they are positive, the fact that they're supportive, the fact that, you know, I feel the same way about them when they're working on things, that's fun to me. You know, it's like, think about it. You've got 100 people. And I just saw like a Harlem Shake video come in from a company, right? So you got 100 people on that floor doing the Harlem Shake. You know, and what you got there, and it's kind of similar to the people that would take fun over money, you got like 10 or 15 people really engaged in that Harlem Shake thing. And I guarantee you there are 30 to 40 people out of that 100 that might be gyrating a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know what? They don't want to be in the damn Harlem Shake video because that's not their definition of fun. So it's interesting because you asked me my definition of fun, and it really goes back to the conditions that would engage someone like me and get discretionary effort out of me. And to me, when my batteries are charging at work and I'm engaged in that capacity, you get discretionary effort out of me, and I want to do it. I want to work rather than, you know, the few times in my career where I have not enjoyed work and I've dreaded getting up in the morning and going, kind of like all the Yahoo people who have to go into the office do now. But, I mean, so fun kind of goes back to engagement. So it's interesting that, you know, 10, 12 minutes ago you asked me fun versus engagement or what my definition of engagement was. And I think for me, being engaged is fun. And that's when, you know, it's when I'm going to want to go to work, right? It has nothing to do with the Harlem Shake. It has nothing to do with margarita day at work. It has nothing to do with that. It really has to do with, is the work interesting? Are the people supportive that you most rely on? And are you guys chasing stuff that kind of expands your professional horizon? Because I think, you know, like the people, the great masses will take your margarita day. They'll drink your margaritas. They'll gyrate a little bit in a Harlem Shake. The bottom line is, they're complaining in the background, which gets back to your question about they'd rather have the check.
Hey, we'd be remiss. We got about 2 minutes left. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask about a moment in time where you were trying to create fun and it just blew up in your hands. Mine was buying Texas Rangers tickets, season tickets, and nobody wanted to see the Rangers when they sucked in July and August because it was hotter than Hades here in Texas. So that that investment kind of blew up in my hands a little bit. What about you? So is some moment in your career where you tried to manipulate fun and manufacture fun, and it just blew up in your hands?
I tried to get a running group together one time, right? And somebody had a minor stroke during the fun run. You know, so that's always kind of a buzzkill, right? You're saying, hey, let's get togetherness. We work in this great office park. There's woods, there's trails. Let's get together and have a little run. So, you know, you pump it up, you know, hopefully you do it in a way where everybody wants to join. And then, you know, Johnny, you know, who by, you know, well, maybe it is some fault of his own, like weighs 270, he comes out on the run, he's jogging, minor stroke, buzzkill, fun, blowing up in my face, William. And I've never tried to force wellness on anybody since then.
And that is definitely a overarching metaphor to conclude the show and the week, Mr. Dunn. Always good to hear from you. Great and fast 30 minutes.
Is it over?
What's your last closing thought? We're going to end it. We're going to come into this thing hot. So wrap it up for us, and we'll roll some music, and life will be great.
Oh, wow. Hey, I got a little motivational quote for you. Put this on your accessories poster, but I like this one. If you want to go fast, go alone. But William and Brian, if you want to go far, go together. Boom!
Yes, that just happened, folks, right there. Chris, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Good to hear your voice. Can't wait to see you very soon. One of your many speaking events. And William, always a pleasure. Nisha, good luck with that house you're trying to get closed. And folks, we are out of here. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.